This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons. We'll get back to your phone calls in just a couple minutes here as there are plenty of you looking to react to that really ugly, not very entertaining, disappointing loss to the Knicks last night. But it is 3 o'clock. As always, that means two things. Ted Johnson's in the house.
Hey, boys. How are we doing?
What's happening?
A lot.
I see you need to crack into a Lucky Energy to get up to speed here.
I'm ready to go, man.
You got to match it, Nathan.
I had an interesting weekend, but it's good to be on with you guys. Last night was interesting. I have so much to say in joining you guys in today's show, so I'm ready to go, man.
And, of course, it's also time for the three-point stance.
319!
180!
319!
118's a hug!
Yeah, there we go!
What's that?
Shut up!
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bang!
Easy as one, two, three.
Pasternak! A hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three. And it is gone! A three-run homer and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
Before we begin, I know I'm supposed to be the one to keep this on the rails, but snowball's chance in hell of that happening. Teddy, any update on your Garnet Chargers that you were telling us about at the end of last week?
You know, oh boy. The girls, unfortunately, they lost a heartbreaker in the championship game to Ithaca. They beat, the storied, program of William Smith.
Yeah.
2 days before.
Upset, yeah.
Huge upset, And our girls had beaten Ithaca earlier in the year, but we lost to them by 1 point. They had 9 free position goals. the refereeing was a little suspect, I'd say. But
I believe it.
Unfortunately, 3 of the teams that our girls beat made it to the NCAA tournament, but not our girls. Nope.
Wow.
So
jeez,
something
screwed.
Is
the
something
fix is in.
So I had some things to say to NCAA D3 on Instagram.
You're fighting with D3 NCAA on Instagram?
I'm not fighting. I'm just making
this is
my
awesome.
Feelings known. So thank you for asking.
Later.
It was, they didn't win the championship, but man, those girls played their tails off, and it was a great weekend for me and my family.
Awesome. There you go. Well put across the board. I saw some great photos on Instagram of you holding up signs at the back end of the bleachers saying, why
got,
not
got
you?
Got those girls fired up on
I can
Friday.
Only imagine.
They loved that. Yep.
About the happiest flower shirt I've ever seen on YouTube.
I love the shirt too, man.
All right, it is time for the three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, and today's three-point stance is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or you screw the Union Garnet Chargers out of a playoff spot, you got to get Glassman, and here's what you do. You call all sevens at 617-777-7777. As it is 3 o'clock, we have three hosts, each of which will present their stance on some of the biggest stories flowing around the world of sports and sometimes beyond. Each host will receive 60 seconds to present their opening stance on their story of the day, and after each is gone, we'll open up for discussion on the floor. Our order is Andy Hart, then Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and then Ted Johnson. Andy, you will lead us off. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, your 60 seconds. They begin right now.
So there's plenty of blame to go around from last night's loss for the Celtics. I put some on the poll. Joe Mazzulla, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. You didn't play well. You made bad decisions. All of that. But I think there's another group that was at the Boston Garden last night that didn't hold up their fair share of the bargain. I've been told that the Garden is one of the most electric places in sports right now. Mm-hmm. Postseason at the Garden.
Well, I like where you're going.
Energy is awesome. And then I watch after halftime and I see when the Celtics are struggling and the Knicks are starting to come back, I see a lot of empty seats. It was 3, 4, 5 minutes into the third quarter, and there were literally sections of 10 seats here, 10 seats there, courtside, 2 rows up, 3 rows up, under the basket. All the good seats around the arena are empty. And I know I've seen that in other arenas, but you're Boston. You're better. You're above that. You're supposed to be the best fans in all of sports. I don't know if you're complacent. I don't know if you got stuck in traffic on the way to the concession stand, but you should get your ass. If you're going to criticize Jaylen Brown for a terrible three to open the third quarter, fans, you should at least be in your seat to see that terrible three. If you're going to criticize your team for losing a lead, maybe be out there to add some energy to the arena. Be a force for your team and against the Knicks. Jaylen Brown wasn't good. Jason Tatum wasn't good. But you people, you listening right now, you were not good at doing your job last night.
Well, to be fair to Greg Hill, he has a show to do early in the morning, so he leaves after tip-off.
Hey, nicely done, yep. Stanley.
Yep. I heard it described as awkward silence.
Yes.
So,
terrible.
If you want to take on the fans today, Andy?
I'll take them on. We're in a gated building.
That's going to end well.
We have at least one person who can provide muscle in front of you,
I'll be
Andy.
Right behind Ted.
I don't know if that's how I'd describe Stiz. Listen, there's a little front runner syndrome with Celtics fans at large, and I think they came expecting dominance. After all, they have tuned into ours and other airwaves and social media and beyond and heard Celtics in four. It was going to be a runaway. This shouldn't even really be a series, and look what they got last night. So maybe both team and fan base got the pop in the chops that they deserve. By the way, Dan Ball, real quick, shout out to our friend John Lyons.
Yeah.
At The Real John Lyons, who's listening right now on the Odyssey app. Thank you, John. And reminded me during our commercial break that it was 2 years ago in the postseason against the Philadelphia 76ers, where Jaylen Brown had a similar breakdown, did the exact same thing, collapsed on a defender, and left James Harden wide open for the game-winning three in that game. So it looks very similar. He even just posted it to the socials at The Real John Lyons. So nice looks, Johnny. Appreciate that.
Absolutely. One of the best, one of the brightest that we have floating around our staff here. Fitzy, I'm going to hand it back to you, my friend, and I ask you one question and one question only. Are you ready?
With a little bit of a palate cleanser on this Celtics grousing day, indeed.
Well, then I look forward to your 60 seconds, which start right now.
All right, folks, just taking a brief moment from complaining about the Celtics, Joe Mazzulla, and shot selection last night to talk about easily the most absurd thing I believe I have read in the wide world of sports so far this year. Perhaps done for attention, or perhaps because we are collectively losing our minds. I read just hours ago that Ted, somebody who is a Colorado football fan, has filed a lawsuit against the National Football League for over $100 million in damages for the, quote, emotional distress that said fan went through while watching Shedeur Sanders fall to the fifth round of the 2025 draft. Said fan writes, In the brief, they are looking for a retraction of the slanderous statements made about Shedeur Sanders, along with an apology for any harm caused to his reputation, implementation of fairer practices in the drafting process to ensure talented players recognized and given opportunities based on merit, and punitive damages in the amount of $100 million for the harm caused to the plaintiff and the impact of the NFL's action on his emotional well-being. Honest to God, sports are supposed to be a release and a retreat and relief and refuge from nonsense and the insanity of the regular world. When it crosses over like this, we don't deserve those sports.
Now, did they get Jeffrey Glassman injury lawyers to help them out?
Then they'd win. If they did that, he'd win.
That's right.
Salino and Barnes, Sokoloff, but of course, Jeffrey Glassman. Thank you very much for sponsoring the three-point stance.
Way to represent. Good job by you guys. Goodness.
All right.
Holy smokes.
Sad day in Boulder, man.
Ted, what's happening to Colorado?
I mean, it's kind of, I don't know. We've never been the traditional powerhouse. We don't know how to really behave, I don't think, when it comes to that. We had our moments back in the late 80s, early 90s, early 2000s, and we've forgotten how to act, it feels like.
Now you're part of the circus.
Yeah, and it's a shame because you have such a great role model leading from the front in that program right now, too.
I know. That's my point.
Jeez.
All right, Ted, let's get to a better point, okay, as in your three-point stance. And I ask you, are you ready?
I'm ready, bud.
All right, your 60-second start right now.
Hit it, Stiz.
Were you satisfied with the shot selection in that second half?
Yeah, I mean, I think for the most part, obviously, over the course of the game, you always can find, you know, 5-10 shots that you want to be better at. But, you know, I thought throughout the night, for the most part, we fought for good looks.
So my three-point stance is basically, with that statement and as the backdrop, going to be about the coaching and Joe Mazzulla. Look, I thought the coaching was bad last night. I really did. And just hearing Joe answer the question about the shots selection that way has me a little bit worried. You know, the denial is not a river in Egypt, right? It's a little bit scary kind of what he thought of that game. At halftime, both Jalen Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns had three fouls each, yet we weren't attacking at all. We were attacking the rim early in the game with success, but we go away from it in the second half. The pace of that game was way too slow. It was taking too long for the C's to get into their offensive sets, and they weren't getting good enough shots, in my opinion. Joe thinks he was. I don't think they were. The assists are down, so the ball wasn't moving around the horn to get guys open because they were getting into their sets way too late. They weren't getting back on D. They were switching off. I think it was hurting them. What game plan do you use in this series and in that game? The same game plan you used against the Orlando Magic when you went into the paint time and time again with success and didn't hit as many threes, and you were fine in that series. The Celtics should have used that same game plan, and they didn't.
You know, as the game was going on, I want to get back to the fan argument, but Ted, something was rattling in my ears when you guys talked to Scal. I don't remember which one of you asked the question, do lessons transfer series to series? Are there things in the Orlando series that you think will transfer over to the Knicks series and beyond? And he said, no. He was a big Rafael Devers fan in that moment.
Yeah.
And I think, Ted, to your point, at least in game one, he was proven correct there.
Yeah, it's a great point. And I remember asking that question, and he didn't think that it translated. And I just like, look, if I'm the New York Knicks, I'm looking at the Orlando Magic series and going, oh, there's a good blueprint for us. Just get up in there in their shorts up on the 3-point line, force mm-hmm. them to be very uncomfortable to get open looks, and really take them out of their rhythm on their 3-point line. And that's how you you know, cause trouble for the Celtics. And the New York Knicks did the same thing. And the C's should have known that was going to be the case, and they didn't counter. They countered against Orlando. They didn't counter against the New York Knicks. It's like, we're going to stay true to who we are, be damned, and we don't care. Now, they've beaten the New York Knicks doing it their way for a long time in regular season games. The New York Knicks are going to play a different style of game in the playoffs, like most teams do. It becomes more of a half-court game than it is a free-flowing kind of more wide open game like it is in the regular season. So for the Celtics not to adjust and expect the New York Knicks to play them similarly to how Orlando Magic played them is a bit of a head scratcher for me. I just don't get it. So I'm down on the coaching, and I'm just down on that comment from Joe Mazzulla saying, like, no, I had no problem with our shot selection. Are you kidding me? Maybe some of those shots were open, but there were four shots. It was, the clock was ticking down. And I forget how exactly Scal described it. I think he described it as, what did he say? He goes, the New York Knicks were playing against the clock. And what he meant by that is, once you see that 25-second clock ticking down, you can see the effort level raising for the New York Knicks, knowing that they're going to have to take a shot here pretty quick. And so it just ramped up their defense, knowing that they got into their sets late and that they could put pressure on them at the 3-point line. Bad job by Mazzulla and the coaching staff for the Celtics.
So, Ted, I don't know if you heard it earlier, but you are in lockstep with our poll today on WEEI Afternoons, who's most to blame for the loss. 54% of fans agreed with you, Joe Mazzulla, 54%. So
it felt like a game where there was coaching errors. And I felt like just those reasons I gave, I mean, why aren't we attacking Karl-Anthony Towns? Why aren't we attacking Jalen Brunson? They both had three fouls at halftime. Are you kidding me?
And this, I brought it up earlier, this, they could have used a sprinkling of your guy, Bill Belichick, here. Like, you have a philosophy, you have a game plan, you have a style, you have all these things. And then the game declared itself, and it declared you couldn't hit threes. So why are we still hitting threes? It also declared itself, they built the lead in part because they, for a period of time, started shooting twos, started playing in the paint. My guy JB hit a couple elbow jumpers. They were doing some things to create the lead. And then that all went away, and they went back to shooting just threes in the third quarter.
I think what gave the Celtics a little bit of a false sense of security is they had the lead. after the first quarter, only shooting 29% from the field.
Yeah.
They had a lead, a 16-point lead at halftime, by only shooting 44% from the field. It was like, they're like, you know, we can shoot terribly and still blow this team out. So I think that is what led to a malaise to start the third, which is where the, you know, the Knicks can't got back in the game, Fitzy.
So you think that the Celtics may have, I feel like the Celtics definitely got overconfident as the game went on for reasons like that. Like, these Knicks can't keep up with them. This, the lead built up to 8, then it was at 11 and almost at 13 at one point before the half. And I think they went in with an 11-point lead. Like you said, 16. It ballooned up to 16, right. And then it balloons up to 20 in the third quarter. Part of me feels like at that point, Joe Mazzulla didn't just say, like, guys, play smart basketball, protect your lead, get away with the one number that matters the most tonight, 1-0 Celtics in the best of 7. I feel like they wanted to pour it on. I feel like they wanted to just beat the Knicks into submission and just rain fire on them. And that sort of, if that's the in-game or, you know, in-quarter adjustment that he made, it was a poor decision because it backfired brutally on them, and you could see the Knicks' confidence continuing to develop and grow as the quarter progressed.
See, I think saying you want to blow them away is what most people will think, and I used to think that way. I think it's the easy way out. I think shooting threes is a lot easier than grinding out two-pointers from the post and actions off the post and doing ISO two-man games. Shooting threes is just easier. So I always think when I see them shooting a bunch of threes, I'm like, they're taking the easy way out. It's easier, in my opinion, to shoot threes than it is to grind out 2 points in a paint.
That's a very fair point.
The number that jumped out, I saw this from Brian Barrett on Twitter. Second quarter, the Celtics were 12 of 15 shooting 2 pointers, 80%, 24 points.
Yep.
In the entire second half, 3 for 7. Just under 50%, 6 points on 2-pointers in the entire second half. So to the point that you guys are all illustrating, it's wild how much it changed and then did not bounce back.
I also blame my guy for that, JB. He had the comments post-game, we can't just be jacking up threes, and he was part of it. He was part of the success from two in the second quarter in the first half. So do it. You have the ball. You play a role on this team where you have the ball a lot, and I understand the philosophy is shoot threes, but you can also be an athlete and play on the fly, and if you see opportunities, don't just take the threes, JB. So let your actions do more than – it's too late if you're talking about it post-game and saying we can't just be jacking up threes. You have the ball. You do your thing in the third and fourth quarter when you have that opportunity on the court.
Before we move on here on our three-point stance, Andy, surprise to no one, it appears we've hit a nerve with the Celtics conversation once again.
Yes, the calls are lining up, so let's go to them. We'll get back to the three-point stance options in a little bit. 617-779-7937. I'm going to go to Patrick in East Hampton. Simply says Mazzulla on the subject line. What are your thoughts on Mazzulla, Patrick?
Yes, hi, guys. I watch you guys every night or every day. Honestly, nothing's going to change with the Celtics. Mazzulla is going to do Mazzulla things. Mazzulla thinks that shooting the three-pointers are going to win us every game. He thinks shooting 60 three-pointers a game, we're not going to miss half of them every game. I understand that. But at the end of the day, there's never an adjustment. There will never be an adjustment. No, everyone wants to say whatever they want after the game, whatever they want. It's not going to change because Mazzulla is going to tell them one thing and they're going to stick to it. It's either we win by a three or we lose by a three.
Thanks for the call, Patrick. And I assume he's watching on Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, or maybe YouTube.
Hello, Patrick. YouTube, too.
Hi, Patrick. Yeah,
we're a lot of people on YouTube, man.
You can see us. You can hear us. You can get us on the Odyssey app. However you want to interact, we're here for you. 617-779-7937. Do you accept that? Because that's where I am. I have accepted that 99% of the time, Joe Mazzulla's Celtics are going to shoot threes. Like, they believe in it, and they believe, as Scal has told us, over a 7-game series, they're going to hit enough of those threes to get 4 wins before the other team can get 4 wins because they don't hit those threes. Like, that's their philosophy.
Yeah, I'm okay if that's like a baseline kind of philosophy and that's kind of your bread and butter. And that's fine to think that way, particularly in the regular season. Again, when you're playing in a 7-game series in the playoffs, it's a different game than what the regular season games are. And so you have to adjust accordingly. You can't play the same freestyle, open, kind of just, you know, chuck them up there style that they play in the regular season and think it's going to work in the playoffs. That's That's where I'm like to sit here and say that's their overall philosophy, playoffs and regular season, I think is a mistake. It's fine in the regular season, but not in the playoffs.
978, I think, agrees with you. Celtics personify arrogance.
Oof.
Right?
I thought winning last year would give them, I don't know, a little bit of, you might say, well, that might embolden them to have more arrogance. I thought they would just kind of knew what it took, the fight. Maybe they're just not tested enough. They weren't tested in the playoffs last year. Maybe that's Fitzy, right? Maybe that's part of the problem.
Yes, sir.
They've never really been tested last year, and they've got tested a little bit, I guess, in the first series, but maybe that's the problem, Fitzy. They haven't been tested enough in these playoff runs.
Well, now they just got their lip bloodied in front of everyone at the bar, and we'll see how they respond when they get a chance to come back for a drink tomorrow night, because that was ugly.
More of your reactions to the Celtics' loss to the Knicks up next here on WEEI Afternoons. And we'll also have to mix in Boston Red Sox, because we know, at least for their first game scheduled post Tristan Casas here, new series Rangers, what their solution is. We'll also get Ted Johnson's solution for the first base issue with the Boston Red Sox. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, give me what's trending, including some lacrosse matchups.